Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church, growing disciples who make a difference.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 of them were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was long in time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed up their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Getting ready for Thanksgiving. It's quite a bit of work. You got a couple of options for how that's done. So just pick the one you want and roll with that. But weddings are quite a bit of work as well. We read about a wedding. Kayla read a parable about a wedding to us. And so both Thanksgiving or weddings, a lot of work, and a lot of it depends on what you put into it, because things can go awry quickly. Think about the weddings that you've been to. Isn't it the mess ups? Isn't it those things that you want to talk about? Aren't those the stories that we tell about weddings? I've got a buddy and whom I will call John. And John served as a best man at a wedding some years ago. And the wedding was on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve was time in the evening for the rehearsal and the rehearsal dinner. You know how that all goes. And John is got some time. And so he's relaxing on his couch. He's watching some football bowl games, as one should be doing on the last day of the year. And he's texting back and forth with the groom. And the groom asks him, says, "You haven't left yet?" And John gets that, you know, that sinking feeling in your stomach, like, uh-oh, I should be somewhere. And so with a start, he runs to the refrigerator, and he takes a look at the wedding invitation, gets the address, goes, gets showered up, dressed up, and bolts out to the rehearsal, which was in another town. And he's driving, and he's on the right road, and he's cruising around, and he can't find the church. And so up and down a few times. Finally, he calls his buddy, the groom, and says, "I can't find the church." And so the groom says, "Well, what are you looking at? Describe it to me." And so John does. And the groom says, "Are you in Indiana? Because the rehearsal's in Kentucky." He had the right street name. He had the right town name. He just got the state wrong. That's no big deal. Misses the rehearsal, but made it for the dinner. So the most important part, he's got. So things can go awry quickly, especially when we don't prepare. And this story that Jesus tells, it's a parable. It's not an actual story. It has some truth, of course, in it. And the task for us is to discern, what is it that Jesus is saying to us through this story? We've got Ami brilliantly taught us up here, 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins, and the more common term today is the bridesmaids. These were the ones that took care of the bride, that waited with the bride for the groom to come. Because here's the deal. The Jewish wedding was a whole lot different than the way we do things today. Today, especially if you're in a wedding party, you're getting a typed out schedule of where you should be and when, or you will face the wrath of bride, or worse yet, bride's mom, all right? So you better be there at these certain times. In the Jewish tradition, A couple would become engaged, and the groom would take off to get their house ready. And there was no set amount of time. The time was when that got ready. And so the groom, when that was done, the groom would come back and claim his bride, and they would go to the wedding. And get this, after the wedding, a 7-day party celebrating this union between bride and groom. Anybody can handle a 7-day party? Anybody want to become Jewish right now? Absolutely. That's a 7-day party celebrating this whole thing. But time, we don't know. And so these bridesmaids, they would wait around with the bride. They would dance for the bride. They would just entertain, help pass the time. And you can just imagine, not knowing when this groom's going to come. You've got one eye on the horizon watching out for the groom, the other eye on the bride that you're supposed to be taking care of and just helping to abide by the time as it's passing. And things, of course, do go awry. We read at the end of this parable, half of that bridal party doesn't even make it to the wedding. They find a closed door. That is, the groom does not open for them. So what's the deal? The five wise, the five foolish, and the thing that seems to separate them seems to be the oil. The five wise have jars of oil, and the five foolish ones don't. And obviously, as we learned up here as well, this is midnight. The groom of all times has come at midnight to claim his bride. It's dark out. The bridesmaids need to light the way. Their job is to light the way, to go meet the groom, to bring the groom back to the bride. And then the whole party marches off to the wedding. And it doesn't quite work out that way. The five foolish go off to Walmart to buy their oil that they hadn't done, while the five wise are the ones there ready for when the groom appears. And it's the oil. And the question that leaves us scratching our head is, what's the deal with this oil? This parable, Jesus would tell these parables. If I can have a brutally honest pastoral moment with you, I love the parables and I extremely dislike the parables. There's so much to talk about. The parables, he gives them to us. We could sit here and talk about, well, what about this? And what about that? And how do you think they felt? And all of these things. And as the pastor, it's and as reader and listener, it's like, what is Jesus trying to tell us? What was Matthew, the gospel writer, trying to tell us to his original readers and listeners? And then through the help of the Holy Spirit, what are we to catch today? There seems to be this element of time, doesn't it? For this oil, those who have get to go. Those who don't have miss out. And this oil seems to be, whatever it means, the oil seems to be something that should have been done in advance. Something you should have had, something you came prepared with already. Because there comes a time, and we don't know when, but there comes a time when it's just simply too late. So there's this element of timing that gives us a clue about the oil. But then there's this other thing. It seems to be very personal. The five foolish say, let us borrow some of your oil. And the five wise say, no, we can't. There won't be enough. So this oil, something that should have been acquired in advance, but also something that's very personal, something that each person is to acquire on their own, something that cannot be shared, something that I can't acquire for you, and you can't acquire it, I can't share it with you, and you can't share it with me. Each person, when the time comes, is held accountable to what they have. There's this other thing in the parable. And that is, perhaps even in the lamps of the foolish bridesmaids, there was some oil. but there wasn't enough. They weren't prepared for the long haul. They weren't prepared in case of delay, which happens to be the case here. The groom is delayed. And this seems to be a theme. Your homework assignment is this, Matthew chapters 24 and 25. Just read it. We're here in this biography of Jesus, and we hit this moment, and the gospel writer really wants us to know something. He wants us to know that Jesus at some point is going away, but he wants us to know something else. He's coming back. And here in 24 and 25, we've got four stories all right in a row, saying essentially the same thing again and again. It's like it's something that the readers, something that all of God's people need to really understand. And these stories are all about keeping watch for the thief so he doesn't break in your home. There's stories about the master who's going away on a trip and he leaves everything in the charge of his servants. And the servants don't know when the master is returning. They just know they are called to be about the master's business. And then there's this story of the groom that goes off, and we don't know when he's coming back. We just know that he's coming. And so the bridesmaids are supposed to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be preparing, getting ready for this time, for this who knows when. And so our gospel writer here really wants us to understand that Jesus is coming back. That the pain and the suffering and the tears and the agony and the anxieties and all these things that we've lifted up and asked for prayer for will at some point be no longer. And that Jesus, the groom, will come and scoop up his bride. And that will be a party like none other. Timing. So how do we get ready? If all of this is about the oil and being ready for Jesus' return, well, you know, how does one go about that? I was watching a football game a couple of weeks ago. It was Kentucky and Tennessee, two teams trying to lose the game. One failed in losing and one succeeded in losing the game. If you saw it, you know what I mean. But the interesting thing to me was one of the commentators mentioned a quote from Bear Bryant. Anybody remember Bear Bryant, Coach Bear Bryant? Yeah, he former coach of Kentucky and a bunch of other inferior schools. That's Coach Bear Bryant. There was a moment where the quote went along the lines of this. It was game day. And the team, of course, throughout the week, they had practiced their plays. They had learned the calls. But this was game day. They had warmed up. They had suited on, pads on, uniforms on, helmets on, ready to go. And Coach Bryant has some words for his team. And just picture the huddle, the team around him. And the coach said this. In this game, there will be four or five plays that will make the difference. Four or five plays that will swing the momentum of this game either in our favor or in the favor of our opponents. Four or five plays will make all the difference. And then he told his team, I don't know which plays these are. You don't know which plays these are. But if you go out and you take each play as if it's one of those four or five plays, if you take each play and you give it your very all, you're put forth the most effort, and if on that particular play your opponent is caught giving less effort, caught slacking off, caught taking a play off, then you've swung the momentum in our favor. And if that happens four or five times in the game, then we're going to walk out of here winners. Every single play. How do we get ready? Every single play. It's an attitude of awareness, an attitude of at any moment Jesus may come back. Be ready. And still there's this business of the oil. What is it? Can I just go off to Walmart, pick that up? Meijer, special thanks to Meijer. Go to Meijer and pick some of that up. What's the deal there with the oil? I think one other clue dropped to us is the way this parable ends. It's really a horrible ending, isn't it? These five foolish bridesmaids, they go out and they get what they need and they come back just to find this door that's been closed, and they knock and the groom is there. And the groom's response to them isn't like, hey, sorry, you weren't prepared, you don't get to come in. You know, hey, sorry, you really let us down, you don't get to come in. Hey, sorry, you know, you didn't really earn your way into this wedding. It wasn't any of that that we might expect to hear. Instead, the groom has these words for those foolish bridesmaids. Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. I don't know you. What kind of response is that? I don't know you. I think that tells us something about the nature of this oil or this preparation that Jesus is calling all of his people to have. Not only are we to acquire whatever this is in advance, not only is it something that we can't share with one another, it's a very personal thing. Not only do we need to have enough of it for the long haul in case the groom is delayed, I don't know you. What is this oil? So my wife is not here this morning, so I can say whatever I want to. I'm going to have to be careful in the evening service. But I want to tell you what's going to happen in my home for the next however many, 10, 12, whatever days up until Thanksgiving. My wife and her mom kind of got this team thing going on where we all get together for Thanksgiving. And so my wife will do her part, and her mom will do her part, and my mom will do her part, and I will sit around and watch football and eat food. That's my part, okay? Somebody's got to do that. All right, I'll wash some dishes too, okay? So I'll do that part as well. But it's kind of, so putting together this Thanksgiving feast is really sort of this team effort, everybody coming together. And so every day until Thanksgiving, my wife and her mom are going to talk by phone. Her mom lives some 4 hours away, so by necessity, it's by the phone. They're going to talk about when they go shopping. They're going to talk about making the list for when they go shopping. They're going to talk about where they're going to go shopping. They're going to talk about where the sales are that they need to be at on what day when they go shopping. They're going to talk on their way to shopping about what they're going to get when they get there at the store. They're going to talk during the shopping, comparing prices with what's on sale so that they can decide who actually buys that particular item. After the shopping, on the way home, they're going to talk about what they forgot to get because they didn't write it down on the list. And then when they get home, they're going to talk about who's going last minute shopping to get those items that weren't purchased before. It's going to be a lot of talk every single day. And in the midst of all that talk, they're going to talk about some other things too. They're going to talk about my father-in-law. They're going to talk about the kids. They're going to share some stories about school, what's going on at church, these sorts of things. I start to get the idea, especially with something like Thanksgiving approaching, that they're looking forward to being together. I start to get the idea, almost, that they enjoy the preparation more than the actual holiday. They're so looking forward to being together. And as they talk and as they prepare and as they do this joint effort to get ready for the Thanksgiving that we're going to have, I get this idea that my wife and her mom really love one another and that they're looking forward to that time together. It's a relationship. It's talking. It's enjoying one another's company, even if it's over the phone. Jesus' words to those foolish bridesmaids were, "I don't know you." And I think that's the biggest clue of all about what is it, this oil that we're supposed to be, supposed to have, supposed to come prepared with. And Jesus is asking, do you love me? Do you know me? Do you love me? And as he told his disciples in another place, if you love me, you'll do what I have commanded. You will obey my commands. This is how you will show that you love me. In other words, Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm going to be gone for a while. And as all of those stories tell us, it's a long while. You almost get the idea that it's intentionally long to give us time to figure out where we need to be and what we need to have when that moment comes, when Jesus returns to set things right and to claim his people. Do you know me? Will you recognize the groom when he shows up to reclaim his people? For some of us, perhaps you have this oil stored up. You've talked to Jesus every day. You're in the Word. You're learning about Jesus, but you're allowing him to reveal himself to you every day. You've practiced the fine art of God sightings. Where is Jesus going to show up today? Where am I going to see him at work? Through whom am I going to see Jesus at work? And you have your oil. And maybe it's family circumstances. Maybe it's that person that won't be there on your Thanksgiving celebration that you're saying, Jesus, I am so ready for you to come back. I'm ready for this true Thanksgiving reunion when we all get together for the longest and best party ever. Are you with me here? And we're looking forward to that day. Some of us, perhaps, we don't have our oil. We're not ready. We don't know Jesus. And so maybe it's the task of those of us that do. Look around. Is it your kids? Is it perhaps grandkids, your friends, the person you're sitting next to, those that will come and visit at Thanksgiving, those that are just on your mind? Maybe it's just a word about what the future holds for all of us, and that there does come a moment when it's just too late to get the things that we should be getting right now, the work that we should be doing right now. For some of us, we had oil. And maybe we were baptized in the excitement of following Jesus. It was good for some time, and the days kind of rolled on. Maybe for others, we remember coming to the altar and we surrendered our life to Jesus, and you were in your Bible every day and you really knew him and you were living each day for him and you were seeing how he worked each and every day. And then the days got long, didn't they? And it rolled on just like a football game. It rolls on the fourth quarter. Everybody's tired. We've forgotten the game plan. We just need to get out of here. And the oil just, we don't know where we've placed that. We've kind of forgotten about Jesus. We're just doing our own thing. Here's the good news. It's not too late. At some point, it will be. But right now, maybe it's that time to rekindle that relationship. Maybe it's that time to bow your head and say a prayer and just to talk, because you know the big day is coming. Maybe it's time to open up that Bible again and see what awesome things Jesus wants to say to you. and how that relationship changes things starting right now. So I don't know where this parable finds you this morning, but the question is out there, thrown out there, is a bit of a warning to all of us. Are you ready? Do you know me? Do you love me? If you do, be about the work that I started. Be about this kingdom business. When will Jesus return? When will these long days of waiting and work be over? I don't know. What I do know is that what happens then will be determined by what we invest in right now. What happens then will be determined by who we invest in right now. Because as it turns out, it truly is all in who you know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Richmond, Kentucky First United Methodist Church. Growing disciples who make a difference.